As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates net. My name is Josh. Today is May 14th, 19 straight games with four or fewer runs. The offense, once again, falls apart with many opportunities. Bucks lose 2-1 and 0-13 with runners in scoring position.
I'm bummed out. Yeah.
So the team is creating opportunities. They're in these games. Don Kelly has been the manager for 5 games. And the Bucks are 2-3, and all 5 games have been one-run games. It hurts that the last two were with Skeens and Keller on the mound pitching absolute gems. But let's talk about the offense. There are 9 hitters in a lineup. Wow. Great job, Josh. Hear me out. Last night, the lineup that was presented there by Don Kelly, and by all means, I'm not breaking down the lineup here. This is the players that he has currently, and this is what he's putting together. You have to do something. Last night's lineup was missing 5 starters. There's a caveat to that, but hear me out. The 3 easy players are Andrew McCutchen, O'Neal Cruz, and Nick Gonzalez. O'Neal Cruz on the bench right now, dealing with a lower back thing. Andrew McCutchen, probably a day off and maybe, you know, deserving. He did get a pinch hit opportunity, but, you know, understandably that's going to happen occasionally, specifically for someone like Andrew McCutchen. He's going to get his days off. He's just not going to play every day. He wants to, but it's just not going to happen. And Nick Gonzalez, obviously, who's still on the injured list. That's the easy 3. Those are major league hitters. We already know this. Let's talk about the other 2. The first one, Spencer Horwitz. Yes, we haven't seen him yet. Some of you like him. Some of you doubt this. But either way, he was acquired to be a starter, and by all accounts, should be better than the production, or lack thereof, that the Pirates have gotten from first base so far this season. So I don't think it's a reach to say that he's missing from this lineup. That's 4. The 5th one is, quite frankly, the biggest one. Maybe O'Neal Cruz could be the biggest one right now. I think that could be fair to say, but I think consistency and track record says that the biggest one is Brian Reynolds. And I know he was in the lineup, but if you think that this is just the new Brian Reynolds, that's fickle, straight up. We know who this guy is. We know it's not what we've seen so far this year. He's on an extended 0 for, I think, 18 at this point. He got up so many times during this 0-for streak with runners on base, with runners in scoring position, late in the game with an opportunity to say, certainly this is going to be the one. You know, Brian Reynolds, who likes country music, I just keep thinking, what if he just changes his walk up to, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Could we just come through in one of these moments, even if it doesn't mean you break out? Like, he had an opportunity late in this game to not just tie the game, but a base hit takes the lead. And the opportunities are there. We saw him move to the three spot last night. We've had comments. We've been talking about it. Comments. Miles is the last one that's been pushing this in the chat and on the videos and everything about him possibly moving down to like the five or the six spot. And I think that's a fair assessment. And at first I was like, I don't know, because I don't know who you put in the two spot. I don't know because I don't know who you replace. I wonder if it's time for a series off entirely. Listen, it's not getting better. And I know that it's like, but as soon as he turns it on, he's better than everyone else in that lineup. That's fair. But at some point, like, there, anything is at least going to be the same as what he's doing right now. Give him a series off. If O'Neal Cruz is able to play against the Phillies, maybe it's time. I'm curious if they just give Reynolds the series off. Clear your head. We're approaching the mental aspect of hitting. Maybe not even approaching. Maybe we're full in. Full struggle here. He's in his head. He's frustrated. It's no longer just like approaching, but we're full struggle. We're full mental. We saw him slam the bat down in a ground out. And you know what? I don't hate that. But at the same time, you can tell like it's eating at him, but we're full blown struggle. We're full blown. Like, he's not getting anything done. He's guessing. He got rung up looking. I mean, it was a check swing. Really, what that was is like he made the decision to swing. It was just way too late, so there's no point in swinging. He was looking off speed, and he was guessing, and that's what he came up with. He's overmatched right now. He's completely in his head. It might be time to sit him for a couple days. I don't even care if he takes batting practice. Like, clear your head. It's time that you have to, if anything is going to happen with this season, you're going to have to come through here, and you're better than what you've been doing. As if he's going to listen to this. Reynolds is better than what we've seen from Brian Reynolds. We know that he's a good baseball player and a very good hitter. This won't last forever, but we need it sooner than later. So if Hayes, Barton, IKF are holding their end of the deal, and they are. They've all been good, specifically lately. Add those five hitters to that. You've got eight. You're missing a left fielder at that point. Canario's starting to come around. I even tweeted at one point, making a joke about the squint comment, and I said, if I squint, Canario, Triolo, and Bay are not in the starting lineup. And what I'm saying there is, you know, it's going back to Ben Sherrington's comment saying, if you squint, you can see a stronger team. And I've said this before. I agree with that comment, even though that was maybe one of the only comments that I agreed with there. But I agreed with that comment because if you squint and you see exactly what I'm saying here, you could have five guys in that lineup. He didn't mean, because he was very clear about it. He doesn't mean that the lineup that you saw tonight will play better straight up. No. What he's saying is those kind of guys won't be on the roster. I think he would intend that Triolo and maybe even Canario are on the roster. And Canario could be proving me wrong even then. But it was a situation where they had a guy on third and it was three straight strikeouts. And so that was why my comment was there. But Canario, maybe getting some playing time, is starting to come through. He is going to strike out. But that was only the first out. You need somebody to come through in that scenario. I don't mind Canario trying to hit the two or the three run homer in that moment, but the next guy has to be able to step up. And after Hayes steals second, you've got second and third at this point. Triolo or Bay, they've got to put the ball in play at that point. But either way, when I squint, Bay's not on the 26-man roster. If I'm squinting to see a stronger team, I thought that was a good way to put it. And if you, you don't have to squint, you don't have to use Ben Sherrington's line. You can say whatever you want, but like when you get Gonzalez back and Horwitz back, and we're going to say Cruz at this point back, and you start to see Brian Reynolds begin to hit. I mean, those are four, I don't know about impact bats, but at least in this lineup, they're going to be impact. That's possibly enough to be competitive day in and day out. I just said that they're 5-1 run games. Those guys are good enough to possibly plate a run or two here or there. Maybe you're 3-2 instead of 2-3. Maybe you're 4-1 instead of 2-3. I don't know what it looks like. I mean, the pitching has been fantastic. With protections that guys can have bad games and other guys can have good games to carry it for that day. But at that point, it's at least a major league lineup. Average. There's still not enough power for them to be a contender, for them to be better than middle of the pack on the offense. There's not enough power there. Let's not get it twisted. I'm not saying they're going to be a good team and they're going to go out there and they're going to end up a 500 team at the end of the year because they've played so well. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say here. But will they play from the time Don Kelly took over, scratch the first 38 games, will they play 500 baseball the rest of the way through, which is about all that Ben Sherrington's built here, is a 500 ball club. So front office can be blamed for 500, but the players and the coaches, the guys that are actually doing the baseball stuff, all you can say is play to your potential. Make it watchable. And for these five games, it's been watchable. I mean, frustrating still on the offensive side, but they've been fighting. They've been in games. The defense is better. They've been playing a little bit. I'm waiting for that moment where they turn. And it reminds me of For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner and John C. Reilly, right? And it's the eighth inning, and John C. Reilly comes out, and Billy Chappell, the character that Kevin Costner is playing, says, has there been a base runner yet? And he says, no. And he makes the comment, I don't think I got anything here. And it's funny because John C. Reilly playing an actual like serious part here. But he said, hey, just throw what you got. The guys are behind you. And it's funny, but it's also like, it's this kind of cool phrase where he says, we don't stink right now for this moment right here, just today. We don't stink. And I can't help but start to say, like, when will the Pirates turn that corner where they're able to say, when Skeens is on the mound, which is what we saw a little bit last year, like, we don't stink. So far, they're not able to say that. So far, we're still losing games that he's pitching. And we shouldn't be because he's been great. So, you know what I mean? That's a good moment in that movie. If you haven't seen For Love of the Game, that's a good baseball movie. That's pretty good. I like that moment. I think the on the field stuff better than maybe the rest of it, but it's good stuff. That's a good line. Yeah. Mitch Keller. We break into that. I see it. I see that this team can be watchable. Mitch Keller was fantastic last night against the Mets. The Mets are a very good team. Let's not forget that this is one of the top teams in the league right now. And Pete Alonso has been an absolute tear. Francisco Lindor, one of my favorite players in baseball as far as shortstop goes. Maybe if I had like my dream team of players I like, not just who I think is the best, but like players that I like. I don't know, man. Could be that guy. I'd have to think about it. I mean, Bobby Witt, obviously, there's a lot of really good players. But like of guys I really like, Francisco Lindor hasn't really had a great series. He's hit fine, but Keller got him three times in this game. Even in the last time, after his third strikeout, Frankie Lindor with an emphatic wow. And I know like some will say like, yeah, but then he smiles as if it's okay. Listen, that's what he does. Sometimes he smiles when he's struggling, when he's off. Even during his swing, his face is just a smile. I don't think it was, you know, quite that. Keller goes 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, 96 pitches. Just gave up that home run to Beatty in the 7th that ended up being the difference in this game. And just an absolute, I mean, two runs, absolute fantastic game for Mitch Keller. It is unfortunate that he walks away with a loss in this game. Absolutely unfortunate. He was really good. What can you say? Two quality starts the last 2 days, and they lose. Again, on the offense, we talked about it. They're going to just keep coming up short in these games when the lineup looks like this. Until you can get those players back, and even then, it's hope, right? This is all they've built here. But the guys, the guys that we root for, the guys that are there right now, they're going to keep coming up short until it's a full lineup again. I'm hanging my hat on the fact that these games are easier to watch than they were a week ago. It's just not there yet. The consistency is not going to be there. They're not going to be able to win games on a consistent basis with a lineup with that many holes in it. It's just not possible, especially against one of the better teams right now and Kodai Senga, who's been incredible this year. And they got to him a little bit. They just can't come through when it matters. They're just not able to do it. All right, last thing we're going to talk about today. Bubba Chandler pitched last night for Indianapolis. Five innings, four hits, zero runs, three walks, eight strikeouts, 86 pitches, which is significant. His last outing, he went 78 pitches. He's moved up into the 80s now. Obviously, you don't like the three walks, but another fantastic outing. His last outing might have been his struggle outing. Three runs, but it was in 2 2/3. So it was significant. Four walks. So seven walks in his last two games. I get that. But he holds a 1.91 ERA in AAA so far. Number two overall prospect. What are we talking about? The reason I feel it's important to bring this up, he has to be getting close. He would be due to pitch again on Sunday because they have Mondays off in AAA. He's typically had 6 days rest, or I guess you could say 5 days rest, because you pitch every fifth day. Well, in this case, it's been every sixth day. Excuse me. But back in April, he pitched on a Tuesday. The last time he pitched on a Tuesday, on April 8th, he went again on the 13th on Sunday. So this wouldn't be the first time he's gone on the fifth day. So with 4 days rest. So it's not like it's only, you remember Skeens was for a long time, 5 days in between, no matter what. That's not what this is, necessarily, right? Seven walks his last two outings, but like I said, today was the bounce back outing after, like I said, his struggle of three runs now, but those three runs were only 2 2/3. So, obviously not a great outing. If you were to time it out and he goes Sunday, my guess is he doesn't go deep in that game. He would be ready to go Friday. The problem with that, Paul Skeens is ready to go that Friday. Okay. And then Keller Saturday. So now you're adding a couple more days, pushing it to Sunday. It'd be hard to know where this fits. You have Skeens going Sunday in Philly. You have Keller going Monday. So if you were to say, let's not start Chandler on Sunday, let's go Monday, you probably won't, because you have Keller. And there's a day off Thursday. And so you're not going to, Keller's already going to have an extra day rest. You're not going to push him. I could see maybe bumping Falter from Tuesday to either Thursday, or just bumping him and Heaney back both and pushing them to Wednesday, Thursday, which Wednesday would be. So the Reds are coming into town. This is what we're talking about here. Reds are here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Wednesday would be a day game, so easy to push a guy back and then pitch the day game. And then the Brewers come in Thursday for four-game set. Falter could drop to Thursday, which would be Majinski's spot, or something like that. Because of this day, like I said, because of this day off Thursday, you're not bumping Skeens Keller, but... Or Falter. Well, Falter, I think you'd be willing to do that with, just in general. But you've got Falter going tomorrow, And then Heaney Majinski, which if Majinski's even in this thing, Heaney would not have a day off before his next one. So it wouldn't be a big deal to bump him, which is why I think maybe you just bump instead of leapfrogging, you would just bump both of them. Why now? Why not? You know, why not figure out another time? The 7-game homestand next week. After that, they go on the road to Arizona and San Diego. And then it's a 9-game homestand in June, though. I don't see them going another 10 or 12 games, saying like all week next week, the 7 next week, the 6, the one after that. But whenever he fits into there, 10 or 12 games, I don't see them going another 10 or 12 games without calling this guy up. I just don't see it happening. We're already beyond the time that, I mean, by a couple days, but we're already beyond the time that they made the move on Skeens last year. I mean, 191 ERA, I said. I mean, this guy's been incredible. Majinski would be my pick to go to the pen, but that's my pick. He's been good. There's some urgency for this team right now, and I understand it's not to make a playoff push. Once I don't know why I have to continue to conditionalize this, other than the fact that if you popped in right now, I would expect this part to be a part of it. I should just stop conditionalizing. You guys get it by now. They're trying to dig out of a hole. If they believe Chandler can help them do that, or at least put people in the stands, let's be honest, it's time. Let's talk Majinski and get out of here, because we're already at the 20-minute part. Majinski would be my pick to head to the pen. I think it should be in a long man role, even though I think he can help in the back end. He's shown that he's been good enough. You probably owe it to keep him stretched out for a couple reasons. Obviously, somebody has a bad outing, he can come in and get you through. Somebody goes down with an injury, he can just slot right back in. A spot start, he's in there. Let's just say, like, wouldn't you be listening in on Andrew Heaney at this point? Would you move him? Why not? I'd move him in June. If they would move Andrew Heaney, he could slot right back in. If they don't wind up going with Burrows or Ashcraft or Harrington or whatever it looks like. I mean, we're talking about some weeks away. Bubba's ready to come up, get some time in, and for us fans, would make the games even a little more fun to watch. Something to watch after this gauntlet of a road trip. Hang in there, Pirates fans. We'll be back at this thing tomorrow. I don't know if you noticed, the voice is getting just a little bit better every day. Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Subscribing to your platform of choice is the best way to be notified for new episodes. And now, new episodes every weekday. Remember, live shows with my dad and Uncle Jake are Sundays at 9 p.m. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and join them in the live chat every Sunday. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.